You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And we welcome you into the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, Coralville, and the surrounding areas, as well as KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker. Also, if you missed anything on previous shows, you can listen to our podcasts. They're available at KGYMradio.com, as well as Apple and Spotify. Just look for them. We've got some good ones in the can, as they say in the industry. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from the Southwest side coming up here in just a moment. Good show coming up for you. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer of ESPN.com, is going to join us. We will talk about the Masters, which will come up next week at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia. We'll kick that around. Just seems like we were in Augusta. I wish we were in Augusta. We were not. Bob was. We will talk about that. Dustin Johnson's win. Looking forward to what's going to happen in 2021 and the start of the golf season. We'll talk about that. NFL, it's official. 17 games for 2021. Who will be playing in the 17th game? We will let you know about that coming up here in just a little bit. And, of course, the Elite Eight continues tonight as two more spots in the Final Four up for grabs this evening. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you, 319-366-1600. And that is the phone line as well. So we welcome you in on this Tuesday. And a little bit of college basketball news off the court as well for you coming up on the program today. And Mark is back with us. We've got everything all squared away from the wind yesterday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, I apologize for technical difficulties in the last portion of the show yesterday, but good to go today.
Very good to go today. Very good to go today. And yeah, lots of little tidbits to get to. Of course, we've got the Final Four teams to be determined tonight, the final two after last night. It's a Texas two-step, if you will, as Houston, followed by Baylor, will be off to the Final Four. Still in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, and two good teams. And all of the surprises, all of the upsets, all of that, Mark, you still could have a Final Four with a whole bunch of top-heavy seeds in this thing. When all the dust is settled, you've got a one with Baylor, you've got a two with Houston, and you could have two number ones tonight. You could have three number ones and a number two by the time the Final Four rolls around, and everybody will be going, man, it's just like chalk.
Yeah, very well could be after all that has happened. The Oral Roberts, the Oregon States, and what have you, we stay out the UCLA at number 11. UCLA takes on, Michigan tonight, followed by, I'm looking forward to Southern Cal and Gonzaga for sure. Even though Gonzaga is about an 8.5-point favorite, I think USC is playing at a very high level right now and has some players that maybe will be able to match up with Gonzaga. Maybe not across the board, but I think it's an interesting matchup. And, yeah, last night, Houston looked like it was going to put Oregon State away early. Did not, to Oregon State's credit. Came back. I made a game of it, but Houston survived there. And Baylor, I thought, looked awfully good.
They did. Baylor did look good. Arkansas had some spurts in them in that game, but the Bears win it by 9 last night, and they advanced to their first Final Four in some 70 years. Houston advances for the first time since Phi Slammajama was on the court back in the early to mid-80s, back with Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and Michaud and Young and Reed Geddes and people like that. That was a fun group that Guy Lewis put out there. And so they are back. The Zags, kind of the team of this decade, if you will, at least over the last handful of years. And Michigan has won more games in the NCAA tournament over the last handful of years than any other school out there. You could probably win a little bit of a bar bet with that one out with your friends. But that is the case, and we'll see if UCLA can hang with the Bruins coming up tonight. I think they can. That's going to be the nightcap. Gonzaga and USC getting things underway. I'm with you. The Zags got to be the favorite. They are the favorite. They should win. But this USC team's got a lot of talent. They got a lot of talent, and I think they can match up pretty well with Gonzaga. Got to get off to a good start and cut down on turnovers, keeping the ball game, give yourself a chance at the end. That's the recipe that UCLA has been putting forth. They've had some great individual performances. Tiger Campbell has been running the show very, very well. Hope everybody enjoyed Mike Colossus' column about Tiger Campbell and his roots right here in our fair city of Cedar Rapids. And it should be a very, very good basketball coming up tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't think Gonzaga has done anything in my mind to discount them and not think that it is going to win this tournament. But that's why they tip them off. And I know USC is going to be highly motivated tonight. And we'll just see how it turns out as far as UCLA, Michigan. Michigan playing at a high level, even without Isaiah Livers. And, I would expect Michigan to win, but UCLA has put things together in this tournament.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on the Elite Eight games. We'll have those for you tonight at 6 o'clock for you. All of our frequencies once again right here on KGYM. Heck of a women's game last night, by the way. And we're going to have the women's Final Four coming up this weekend on Friday and Sunday for you. You can check out our schedule upcoming at KGYMradio.com. But Baylor and UConn played a really fun game, going back and forth between the men's game and the women's game last night, Mark. And that was a good one between the UConn Huskies and the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, I did the same, and it came right down to the wire. And I thought the Baylor player was fouled by UConn maybe more than once, if not twice. But those things happen. And Baylor had UConn down at a pretty sizable margin, maybe 10 points at one time. But UConn came back. Paige Beckers had a heck of a game for the Huskies. By the way, she and Iowa's Caitlin Clark recognized today as the Women's Basketball Coaches Association co-freshman of the year. But, that was a dandy. And as we mentioned earlier, UConn has everybody back. Man, oh, man.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. Think about this. 13 straight Final Four appearances.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care if it's what sport it is. If it's tiddlywinks, I don't care. 13 straight appearances basically in the championship round is astonishing. And Gino Auriemma just keeps getting it done and getting it done and getting it done. Yeah, he's had talent, but you got to coach up the talent, and you can't have anything out of the ordinary happen to you. And that is flat out one of the most, very, very impressive stats in all of sports going on right now is the streak that the UConn women are on.
Yeah, Iowa Wrestling had a streak there for a while that was very significant under Dan Gable. But this thing just keeps marching on for University of Connecticut. And with everybody back, I don't see it ending anytime soon. Why was Baylor a number two seed? I'd asked myself that question.
Exactly.
A couple times last night.
Even though I don't think... is there anyone in the world that likes Kim Mulkey?
She didn't endear herself last night to anybody if there was still somebody hanging on.
The Baylor women's coach. She's an acquired taste, I think. Whatever. But Baylor's a good team, and I think Baylor... I'm with you. I think Baylor should have been a one over North Carolina State, but... it's just the way it played out. UConn and Baylor met in the Elite Eight, did not meet in the Final Four. And I think they both have teams that are definitely in the top four as far as women's basketball concerned. 15 minutes past the hour of three, about 10 minutes away from talking with Bob Herrig of ESPN.com, 57-31. And they ask the eternal question, Mark. Geno's a great coach. He could coach the men too. I don't think there's any doubt, and I think he would have great success. Here's what UConn does. UConn will pull up for a mid-range 10-footer.
Novel.
What a novel concept. The one time I jumped out of my chair last night was when Bill Raftery, during the second game last night, agreed with me wholeheartedly when he said, "Where is the mid-range jumper?" all these modern-day kids want to go to the basket or shoot the pull-up three. You got to get your 3 points in one form or another. You know that 10-foot pull-up jumper is a pretty darn high percentage shot, Mark. 8-10-footer, you know.
It sure is. So is that 15-foot free throw, which Arkansas couldn't nail last night. I mean, the free throw shooting that I've seen.
Atrocious.
Not very good.
Free throw shooting right now is flat out atrocious. Alabama was 11 of 25 in their Sweet 16 game. Cost them the game. Houston's in the Final Four. Houston, if Rutgers could make free throws, would not even be there. Rutgers had Houston dead to rights and couldn't make free throws.
Right.
I understand that there are games you're just not going to make any. It's contagious. You just start to miss, but the percentages are so down over the last handful of years in free throw shooting. You don't practice them. That's just flat out. Kids do not practice free throws as much as three-pointers. And it comes back to haunt you at times. So, at any rate.
The question, the comment on the text line about Geno Auriemma being a great coach, and he could coach the men. You know, you could say that about women's coaches as well. Could Kim Mulkey coach the Baylor men? Could Pat Summitt have coached the Tennessee men?
Absolutely.
Could Brenda Freeze coach the Maryland men? It's a question that's never going to be answered, probably, but kind of an interesting one to ponder.
319-366-1600. Also on the text line, yes, 8186. Very interesting doings today off the court. We talked about this when we came on today. Jordan Bohannon back on Twitter. The perhaps former Hawkeye or still Hawkeye, who knows? Chad Lystico, friend of the shows from the Des Moines Register, covers the Iowa Hawkeyes, tweeted just a few minutes ago, just got off the phone with Jordan Bohannon, who tells me college players have a long-awaited meeting set up with the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Thursday, as well as a meeting to follow with U.S. Senator Cory Booker and possibly the Biden administration about name and imaging licensing as far as the NCAA is concerned. And beyond that, Jordan came out today and said that if indeed the NCAA adapts the chance for student athletes to make money off of their image and likeness and name, that he will come back and play next year, one more year for the University of Iowa.
Yeah, he specifically said, though, that the Iowa legislature may make that decision for him. There's a Senate file 245 that has to do with name, image, and likeness. And the Senate has until Thursday to either move that bill along or let it die. And in Jordan's tweet, he basically said he's going to see what happens with that Senate file. And if it passes, he'll be back next year. At this point, he still has not decided. Now, maybe if the Iowa file dies, but the NCA steps up, that could change his decision as well. All I'm seeing out there is a lot of pushback towards Jordan Bohannon. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but a lot of folks out there thinking that it's time for him to move on.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's, you know, whatever. If Jordan wants to come back and play, Iowa is going to welcome him with open arms. There are a lot of different prongs to this. The NCAA has to approve it. They have to move. Thursday morning, the NCAA is not going to throw their hands up in the air and go, oh, okay, athletes, you can make money. They're just going to continue with the process of getting this down the road. And for right or wrong, whatever the case may be, that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, Thursday at noon, we're not going to have athletes going out there and being able to, you know, make $5 an autograph at the local grocery store or whatever the case may be. It's just going to move on. The Iowa legislature is a part of that process and procedure as well. All these things have to come together. This is going to be, it's been a long process. It's going to continue to be a long process. Who knows if it's going to even be done by the time the, you know, what would it be, the 21-22 athletic year gets started as far as the NCAA is concerned. Could be, might not be, though.
I think it's unlikely the Iowa Senate file moves along. And even if the NCAA does acquiesce and say it's time for athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness, I don't see it being instituted until maybe 2022. I could be wrong. Very few things the NCAA does is immediate. I think it's going to be a very interesting meeting for Jordan Bohannon and others to have their case heard, and what the response of the NCAA, the U.S. senators, whoever they're meeting with, maybe it'll catch steam in a hurry and be a freight train rolling downhill. More to that in a couple days.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Gym Class on this Tuesday edition right here on KGYM. Darren on the text line would be okay with Lisa Bluder coaching the men's basketball team. That is all the tweet is from Darren. So we thank you for that. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, coming up here in just a couple of moments. And, yeah, so college basketball on and off the court, some very interesting things. Football notes, we are going to talk about this after we talk with Bob, but there is now officially a 17th game on the NFL schedule in 2021. We'll let you know about that, the matchups, and there is one less preseason game or exhibition game or preseason game or whatever you want to call it. As far as the NFL is concerned. But we can talk about that. And some breaking news as far as a former Iowan is concerned. Chiefs still continue to retool their offensive line, Mark, and they have announced they have signed center Austin Blythe to a one-year contract to be reportedly the center for the Kansas City Chiefs and to help protect Patrick Mahomes next year.
Well, I retweeted that for your benefit.
Thank you.
I hope you would see it. But it's a good get for the Chiefs. Austin, an excellent player. Via Nate Taylor from The Athletic out of Kansas City per a source. So we'll continue to track that.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Tuesday edition of the program. And we're going to go ahead and take a break, come back. Bob Herrig, the senior golf writer for ESPN.com, is going to join us, and we will preview the Masters. Of course, we got Caddy Smack starting next week as well, and looking forward to that. So stay with us. A lot more to come on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. It's coming up right here on KGYM.
There's always that one team that ruins your bracket, especially this year. That's why now is a good time to bet the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter who you're betting on. New users get up to $1,000 in site credit back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits, and fast withdrawals. Your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you! They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use the promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing. Risk-free offer for first online real money wager. Only site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Spring forward at Banana Republic Factory with 50 to 70% off everything. Shop season favorites from colorful dresses to easy tops from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. Enjoy 50 to 70% off almost everything at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Shop tees from $6.99 and joggers from $24.99. Plus extra 15% off online. Exclusions apply. Shop the sale through April 6th.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, so I've been taking Garlique, and it works.
I take Garlique every day to help maintain healthy cholesterol. No garlic breath.
And Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency, so you know it works.
Take charge of your cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Freshen up your home with a new coat of Dutch Boy Platinum Plus paint. It features Stain Shield technology, providing up to 50% more stain resistance and washability. A gallon of flat is $28.98 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through April 3rd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
A lot of interesting comments as far as the text line is concerned here at 327. As far as Jordan Bohannon, we've been talking about his comments as well about name, image, and likeness in the NCAA. You missed it. If you're joining us late, Jordan saying that if the bill passes as far as the Iowa Senate is concerned and the NCAA, he will come back for a sixth year at Iowa to play college basketball. And as I said, a lot of very interesting comments there. 319-366-1600. Before we get to Bob here, do want to bring in Matt in Fairfax and his comment. We talked about Gino Auriemma, others coaching on the men's side as far as basketball is concerned. And Matt in Fairfax with a very good response here. With any woman coaching NCAA men, your sex doesn't matter. As long as you can help the athletes grow as adults and players and prep for a professional future, that's all the kids should care about. And helping them as far as growth on and off the court as well. And I would agree with Matt out there. Going to talk to Bob Herrick, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, and you can read his stuff at ESPN. We encourage you to do so. He does a fantastic job. He and the rest of the staff taking us through the very long and very fun golf season each and every year. And, Bob joins us here in eastern Iowa on a brisk 48-degree day here. The tee is open for you, Bob, if you so desire.
Hey, I'm unfortunately, I've become a very fair weather golfer. So, I applaud those folks who see 48 degrees as a great opportunity to go play. So, if there's anybody out there doing it, good for you.
Mark, meet Bob. Bob, meet Mark.
Fair weather, that's me, Bob, for sure.
I'm, listen, I live in Florida, so, you know, it's funny when I, When it gets below 65, we have the issue here. Like, yeah, you know, we have so much warm weather. Do I really want to? It's kind of a pathetic attitude, I'll admit. I'll throw myself under the bus.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Bob, before we get to the Masters next week, I wanted to ask you about the match play, and not necessarily the result, but comments from old-timers like Mark Calcabecchia and Colin Montgomery talking about pace of play. And it was dreadfully slow at times. And I don't forget which one pointed to it, but players reading the green books on every putt. And why are they allowed to have green books? They can't have a rangefinder, except I guess they're going to have one in the PGA this year. But what's that all about?
Yeah, it's just sort of one of those things that's evolved, and it got to the point where, you know, I think it got too far down the road before they started to rein it back in, and they have reined it in some. The type of information that's allowed in those books isn't as great as it used to be, but it's still, as you referenced and we see, it's still an issue. And you know, the Masters doesn't allow those books. They don't allow them. There's clearly a local rule that allows you to prohibit those things, and they choose to invoke it. And I tend to agree. I mean, the comments that green reading is a skill and learning the greens is part of the game, you know, I agree with that. You know, now there are players who will tell you that they're looking at their green reading book before they get to the green as they're walking up. And I don't doubt that. I think there's some truth to that. They'll try to tell you that it doesn't have to be a detriment to slow, you know, towards slow play. But on the other hand, I'm just not sure it should be allowed anyway. I mean, it's just, you know, as someone who plays the game at a recreational level, nobody playing recreational golf uses a green reading book. We all use the range finders for the most basic of things to try to get the distance. And obviously a pro golfer wants a lot more information than that. And their caddies can all get that. It just seems to me that once you get on the green, I mean, you can kind of figure that stuff out on your own. You know, during practice round, you gauge the slope, you figure it out. That's part of the skill. And I just think it kind of looks funny. It doesn't look right. I mean, it's almost like when you see a pitcher on the mound looking at a little cheat sheet, or even a quarterback in the huddle. You know, sometimes they've got the plays, right? They've got them charted out, and they're referring to that. I think that sort of defeats the purpose of the whole thing, doesn't it? I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair comparison or not. But to your point, I'm not sure they should be allowed, and I would really need a good argument, you know, presented to me to probably change my mind.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Bob, as far as that is concerned. And before we leave the match play, I do enjoy it once a year. I think it's fascinating. It's teeter-totter golf because you could be looking like you're going to be in a great position to win a hole, and then all of a sudden a miracle shot comes up and you're dead to rights. It is fun. I think it's a little bit more fun when it gets, you know, there's seven or eight matches out there instead of just one, because it gets, not exactly great theater as far as television is concerned. But I think NBC does about as good a job as they can do. But I do like it once a year, and I think it's a very intriguing thing. And are people going to remember Billy Horschel winning or Kevin Na and Dustin Johnson talking after the 11th green in their match two or three years down the line?
Yeah, probably the latter. I'm with you. I like match play once a year, maybe twice. I was in favor of the format change that they went to, which has them play in pods and means nobody's gone before the third day. The problem with that is You know, of the 32 matches on Friday, there's probably 12 of them that don't mean anything. You know, there's 10 or 12 matches every year on Friday where both players are done.
Yeah.
They're out of it. And so I'm not a fan of that. And I wish I had the answer, because what you really need is some – what's bad is when half the field goes home after Wednesday, but there's no way around that unless you have some sort of a double elimination thing. And you can't have true double elimination. It would require too many days. So you have to come up with some hybrid, which is, you know, maybe they divide the top 32 and the top, you know, 1 to 32 play each other and 17 to 64 play each other, you know, paired off, you know, 17 versus 64, 18 versus 63, and so on. And the losers of those matches are done, but the winners play the losers of the upper bracket. That way, if you're in the top 32 in the world, you're assured of two matches. Mm. And if you win your opening match, you get a bye. You get a day off. That's one thing that I think could work and sort of solves the dilemma of losing your stars too early. But ultimately, you're only going to have four guys on the last day, and so that part of it's never going to go away. I mean, another thing, if you sort of want to assure having, you know, some of the bigger names up there, is if you play 36 holes of stroke play. Let's say you expand the field even to 78 players and you whittle it down to 16 after 36 holes. You could play Wednesday, Thursday, 18 a day, and the top 16 advance to match play on Friday, which is what we get to now, basically. You get to 16 on Saturday. But you could have one extra day in there and then whittle it down to 8 for the weekend after Friday. And that way, you know, you're still going to have drama because guys are going to have to shoot good scores to finish being that top 16. You're going to have playoffs for the 16th spot. And then you pair them up 1 to 16 based on how they played, not based on the rankings. But I'm with you. I like it once or twice a year. I just think that in the era that we're in the entertainment business that we are in, you know, straight knockout match play has a lot of drawbacks. And, you know, we kind of saw it. I mean, there was only like one of the top 10 players in the world that made it to the weekend.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the top 20. John Rahm was the only one. And that's sort of the beauty of golf and match play. It's not like tennis. So it's very, very close. And 18 holes of match play is not a big separator. And that's why I think there's a lot of drama there. But, yeah, it's a tough one. It's a lot of golf. And then, you know, we saw them kind of running out of gas on Sunday. I think Billy Horschel made only one birdie. The conditions were difficult. It was windy. It's a hard golf course, too. You know, it's a tricky golf course. So, you know, I'm fully love the idea. I'm not sure I like match play 2 weeks before the Masters. I think it's kind of misplaced. But in general, I like the idea of doing it.
Bob, every year players have to decide whether to play in the tournament before the Masters. And this year it's the Valero Texas Open and our own Zach Johnson playing in it. Dustin Johnson was scheduled to play in it. He has since pulled out. You're seeing more or less players qualified for the Masters participating this week?
You know, probably more than I would have thought. I think there's 16 or 20 of them in the field. And the reason I'm surprised is because of the COVID concerns. You know, these guys have to test every week, and if they test positive, they can't play. So you've just brought it into play twice. This week, if you tested positive this week, you're almost certainly not going to be able to play next week, unless you tested on Sunday and 10 days went by. You wouldn't be allowed any practice rounds at Augusta. That would be difficult. And obviously, once they get to Augusta, they're going to have to test. And you know, obviously, you bring all the randomness into it with the COVID testing. The more you're, you know, out and about and could try to do all the right things and things can still happen. Of course, you could do all the right things and stay at home and still get it. So I think there's I think there's sort of that school of thought. So for that reason, I think there's more people there than I would have thought. But, you know, we definitely know there's guys like a guy like Mickelson, Jordan Spieth. They like to play the week before. They like to play their way in. I think it takes their mind off of it. Some guys overdo it practicing at Augusta. So, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy. We go through this every year. You know, should you play the week before? Some guys, you know, religiously play the week before. Some guys never do. Obviously, Tiger almost never did. You know, I think whatever works best, whatever you're comfortable with. Certainly the golf course is not going to prepare you for Augusta National. But being competitive and hitting shots under pressure, I think a lot of guys find that valuable.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us here at 3:40 on the Tuesday edition of the show. You guys were just there, seemingly, 5 months ago at Augusta. A very different fall edition, but with a very fine champion in Dustin Johnson. And now right back there to start the majors as far as 2021 is concerned. And it is going to be different this year for many reasons. And I think the biggest one, obviously, is the fact that it's seemingly the golf world was just at the Masters. And, I mean, how unusual is that going to be, you think, next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we learned is that Augusta National in November didn't play anything like it normally does in the spring. And that was unfortunate, and it didn't help that they got rain the very first day, which made an already kind of softer course even more so. That's why, you know, listen, taking nothing away from them, they all played the same golf course, but that's a big reason why Dustin Johnson, you know, set a scoring record by two shots. You know, the best anybody had ever been was 270, 18 under par. He was 20 under. And there's a lot of that has to do with the conditions, and he's the first to admit it. You know, the ball stopped on the greens. You know, numerous examples of long shots in the par fives that normally would hit and bounce, run over, were stopping. And that's unlikely to happen next week, even if they do get some rain. And it looks like the temperature is going to be warm. Just, you know, there's always the chance for some rain, but it's going to be in the 70s and 80s. The drier it is, the windier it is, the firmer it is, the better it will play, the better of the competition it is. But the last couple of years, it's been soft. Even in 2019, and when they played in April, that's still there. There was record number of scores. I think the scoring average is one of the lowest. So, you know, that part of it will be a lot different. Also, they're going to have some spectators. I've said this a few times. As cool as it was to be able to see a lot of the holes without with the unobstructed views, without people in the way, to me that got old after one day. You know, I missed the roars, I missed the crowds, the murmuring, the hustle and bustle, the sounds that you hear, the clapping, the cheering. You know, it was like a member guest. You know, and it just lacked that atmosphere, that buzz. And while they're not going to be anywhere near what they normally are, I do think you're going to have some sense of it because, you know, they're probably going to have 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 out there, and they're going to be in the key spots. You know, a lot of those people will be in the key spots. I think you'll hear some cheering, you'll hear some noise. That brings some normalcy back.
It's always difficult to handicap a golf tournament, let alone a major, Bob. But I think, as I look at it, I mean, you guys, you have a guy like Rory McIlroy who's kind of in a funk. He hit a shot his last tournament into the water when there was no water in play, that being somebody's pool.
Yeah.
But he's got a new coach. He's working on some swing things. So I kind of eliminate him. Maybe he shouldn't. Tiger's not there, of course. Do you favor someone who has won the tournament before or an up-and-comer who you've got your eye on this next week?
Yeah, you know, I think the trends typically suggest, although, you know, it's funny, we have not had multiple Tiger, obviously, 2019, and I think Bubba was the only other one in the last 10, 12 years that actually going back to 2011, so 10 years. Every winner since, except for Bubba, Watson, and Tiger, hadn't won the Masters before. But there's a lot of evidence that suggests they almost all of them have had some success leading into the tournament, like at least a top 10 in a couple of their preceding tournaments. You know, if you go back and look, DJ certainly did. Tiger did in 19. In 2018, Patrick Reed did. You kind of have to look at somebody, I think, like that. You know, a guy like John Rahm. Now, his wife is due, so that's a little bit of an iffy pick because, you know, he might leave. But Rahm he's been in the top four, and he's played the Masters four times, and the last three he's been in the top 10. You know, he's obviously contended a lot. I mean, so I like a guy like that. Justin Thomas has gotten better at Augusta. Obviously, has contended. He just won the Players. You know, a guy like Adam Scott, who hasn't really contended, is he got a good chance? I don't know. Rory, same thing. We always think that he should do well there, but, you know, it's a little bit awkward to be bringing on a new coach a couple of weeks before the first major and expecting to, you know, put it all together. So, to be honest with you, I think it's really wide open. I just think there's a lot of possibility. Obviously, Dustin Johnson, to me, in November, I said, why can't he just come right back and win it in April? But he's fallen off just a tad here lately. He's not played great in his last couple of stroke play events. You know, Xander Schauffele, another guy he tied for second 2 years ago, has not been great. Sungjae Im, who was second last year, he kind of ticks all the boxes. He's, you know, he's had a high finish at Augusta. He's had a lot of high finishes on tour. Been consistently pretty good. You know, so you know, maybe they're sort of an offbeat player to look at. He's only won once on tour, but he plays a lot, and he typically gets his game in shape. And he has the good vibes of the success from last year, even though the course will play different. It's got to give you some confidence.
Yeah, and it's an interesting start to the season. You take a look at it, and the meat of the schedule. 2021's off to a great start. I mean, you've got guys like Berger and Koepka and Reed, Grace, Morikawa, DeChambeau, Thomas, who have won so far. You can't ask for a whole lot more if you're a golf fan.
True. There's been a lot of good, compelling stories this year. You know, I mean, there's another one. Brooks Koepka is even going to play. But, I mean, you know, Brooks Koepka hadn't won in a long time, and he won in Phoenix. Jordan Spieth suddenly has been contending and playing so much better. You know, we've had a couple of nice winners. Colin Morikawa, you know, great young player who's fourth in the world already. I mean, 2 years ago he was in college. DeChambeau, as you noted, who won at Bay Hill and whose strategy didn't really work at Augusta in November, but more due to operator error, I think, than the actual strategy itself. I just don't think he played that well. So you've got a lot of different storylines. I mean, I find it difficult to single anybody out. And, you know, I will say this. It's interesting if you look back, a bunch of the past winners going back 6, 8, 10 years, almost all of them have been in the top two in greens and regulation for the week. Tiger led in 19. Dustin Johnson did in 20. I think Reed was second. I mean, it's funny that something as simple as that, you know, could really make the difference. But, and especially on a golf course, where just hitting it anywhere on the green is not necessarily a bonus. You can put yourself in some bad spots. But I think what it suggests is that if you're hitting a lot of greens, you're getting yourself in play off the tee. And that means that you're giving yourself a bunch of birdie looks. And you don't want to be scrambling around out there if you can help it.
Yeah, Brooks is not even the Koepka that's won the most money over the last handful of weeks in the PGA Tour.
Right.
His brother cashed a check. So that was neat to
see. Exactly.
Neat to see out there. Bob, well, I wish we could be there with you, but enjoy Washington Road and everything around Augusta, and have a pimento sandwich on us, and we'll look forward to talking with you down the line.
Good deal, guys. Thanks again for having me.
All right, thank you. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us here at 3:49. We talk about the Masters, which comes up next week. Of course, we got Caddy Smack, our inaugural 2021 edition, coming up next Wednesday. We talk local golf, and we'll talk some national golf with you as well. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about the 17th game in the National Football League when we return after this here at KGYM.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Okay, your bracket is complete. Now it's just waiting for the tip-off of the next game. So need a Cinderella story while you wait? Well, grab an ice-cold Coca-Cola and Quick Star's hand-breaded fried chicken. Yeah, not only the perfect meal for the tournament, but one that might just win you a trip to New Orleans to see next year's national championship. Purchase any 20-ounce Coke product with your rewards card and you're automatically entered. Any package of fried chicken, another entry. Purchase both together, 10 bonus entries. No purchase necessary. Quick Star, we got you covered.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account and your first bet is on us up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
3:51. Our thanks to Bob Herrig for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside one more time to wrap up the college wrestling season. And we'll take a look ahead at baseball 2021, which gets started on Thursday. Of course, Twins baseball on the Jim O.T., 107.5 FM. Twins open up against the Milwaukee Brewers coming up in interleague play. And that will be the opener on Thursday, 12:30 on the Jim O.T., right here on KGYM. Mark's first time since 1978. Schedule changes for the National Football League. It was talked about for a long, long time. We will now have a 17-game regular season schedule. One less preseason game. There will only be three now instead of four, which I applaud. I have never been a proponent of a 17th game, but here it is. It's a long enough season. I'm not sure if they're going to go with two byes they talked about. Elongate the season. I don't know. It's a long year for these guys in the National Football League. But we're going to play a 17th game.
I think it's 17 games in 18 weeks from what I've read. And listen, on the one hand, who doesn't like more football? I certainly do. But taking a deeper dive on this, I don't like it. I think 16 is plenty. 17 is going to lead to 18. You know darn well about that, because it will balance the home and aways this season. Some teams are going to play 9 at home, 8 on the road. Next year it'll be the reverse of that. It's going to lead to more injuries.
Yep.
So many things I don't like about it. But you know what? Owners get fans back in the stands. They make more money, and that's what makes the world go round, right?
Indeed. Indeed it does. And it will be it's interconference play. It'll be AFC versus NFC. You will have divisional matchups between like finishing teams. For example, the AFC West is going to play the NFC North. First place teams will take on one another next year. Second place teams, third place teams, fourth place teams, etc. Probably the most attractive game right out of there, and the 17th game is going to be at Arrowhead. It'll be the Chiefs and the Packers going at it in the 17th game. Your Bears will take on, you get to go to Vegas, Mark, make your plans. You will take on the Raiders.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I, you know, bring me back something nice. preferably green. No. So anyway, it's going to be the AFC teams this year that will get the home games. So they will all play 9 home games, 8 road games. The NFC teams will play 8 home games, 9 road games. With all this in mind, some of the other games: Vikings and the Chargers, Lions, Broncos. You got Rams, Ravens, Seahawks at Steelers, Cardinals at Browns. That could be fun. 49ers at Bengals. The Saints go to the Titans. The Bucks go to the Colts, the Dungy Bowl. Panthers at Texans, Falcons at Jags. Washington football team will be at Buffalo, the Giants at the Dolphins, Cowboys and the Patriots in New England, and the Eagles and the Jets. Those are your 17th games coming up.
0623 on the text line. How do you think the players will react to having a set salary and having to play one extra game? It would be like having to work 4 extra hours a week for the same pay. Well, as I understand, the players' union had to sign off on this. Did
correct.
They not?
Correct.
Before the owners approved it?
I believe that is the case. And yes, but one less exhibition game. Keep that in mind. There were concessions made, so the players are going to be okay with this. And we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. There are a lot of injuries in the National Football League already. And like you said, this kind of opens the door. You hope not, but could be the case for more. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. We've got basketball coming up tonight for you. Gonzaga and USC, that is the opening game. And 6 o'clock, our pregame, all 4 of our frequencies coming up tonight. And then the nightcap, it'll be the Big Ten, Michigan in action as the Wolverines will take on the UCLA Bruins coming up this evening. USC and UCLA still playing this deep into the season for the first time in a long, long while. Who do you like tonight, Mark?
Well, that's actually our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Which two teams will round out the men's Final Four? Will it be Gonzaga and Michigan, Gonzaga and UCLA, USC and Michigan, or USC and UCLA? I'm going to go with the number one seed, Scott.
Well, if Gonzaga and Michigan both make it, then I actually have 2 of my Final Four in there after a very unglorious run of the bracket this year, the bracket of integrity by yours truly. So I'm going to stick with it. I think Michigan's going to hold off UCLA. I think it's going to be really close. I think that's going to be the gem of the 4 Elite Eight games, is going to be the final one coming up tonight between the Bruins and the Wolverines. I think USC will push Gonzaga a little bit at the beginning, but I think the Zags will pull away in the second half and come away with the win. And if that's the case, you got 3 number ones and a number 2, like we said at the beginning, going to the Final Four. And what a Final Four it would be, certainly. And you got a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new, if you will. Kind of the new blue bloods between Michigan and Gonzaga. And then, of course, you've got teams that, you know, Baylor hasn't been there in 70 years. And, of course, Houston hasn't been there since Akeem Olajuwon and Phi Slamma Jamma. It always reminds me, every time I hear Akeem and Phi Slamma Jamma, you do remember, Mark, the first time that then Hakeem Abdul Olajuwon played a college basketball game, don't you?
I do indeed.
Against who?
Turned out pretty good.
They played the Iowa Hawkeyes in the, I think it was the finals of the Kettle Classic, a holiday tournament back in the day. And he came in at the very end of the ball game for the Houston Cougars. Look it up. It is true out there. Enjoy the basketball, Mark. We'll talk with you tomorrow at 3.
Talk to you then, Scott.
All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night. Enjoy the basketball.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.